It is April the 18th, and we are continuing in Parshas Vayigash in our creation class. We are on page 262, and we read through these psukim last week, but we're going to look at them again a little more carefully, starting with Lamed Aleph 31, and going down through Vav through 6. This is a conversation that Yosef has with his brothers to tell them that he's going to go to Paro and attempt to present their position so that they will end up in the land of Goshen. The goal here is that they should end up in the land of Goshen, which is where they were right now. So the Torah, as we pointed out last time, we'll go through these psukim one by one in a moment. But the Torah first tells us that what Yosef tells his brothers that he will tell Paro, and his instructions to them about what they should say when Paro calls them, then what Yosef actually told Paro, then what the brothers told Paro, and then what Paro told Yosef. And we pointed out last week, it's very wordy. The Torah could have just told us very in one pasuk that Yosef went to Paro and asked that his brothers be able to stay in Goshen, and Paro said yes. But instead the Torah goes through in great detail here the every point of the conversation. And we have to look at it very carefully. Some points we will be able to understand, other points we're going to leave as something which we don't fully grasp. But before we do this, before we read over here, we're going to go back to where Goshen was first brought up, which is when Yosef first revealed himself to the brothers and told them to go back to Eretz Canaan to get their father and their families. And it, right away, he tells them what to do about when they get to Mitzrayim, what's going to happen. So if you go back to page, hold the place, and go back to page 254. The first mention of the land of Goshen in the Pasuk is on page 254 in Pasuk Yud, verse 10. Yosef has revealed himself to his brothers. He tells them, quickly go up to my father and tell him that Hashem has made me the master of all Mitzrayim. Come down to me and don't wait. V'yashavtav eretz Goshen, and you will dwell in the land of Goshen. You will settle in the land of Goshen. I want to call your attention to that word, v'yashavtav. The word shave in Hebrew means
to settle.
It means to sit. When the word shave is used in the context of living, it means to settle. There's a big difference between the word shave and the word gar. In modern Hebrew, the word gar means to live, ger. I live in a certain place. I live someplace is gar, gimel resh. That is a mistake that I pointed out to you before, that there are many examples of modern Israeli usage of words that first appear in biblical Hebrew and they misuse the words. We pointed out the word Abba is a misused word, and there are others that are misused words. The word gar is a classic example. The word gar today means to live, but that's really a mistake. The word gar does not mean to live. The word for to live someplace is leishev, to sit, which means to dwell, to settle. That's what the word, that's how you say to live someplace. If I want to say I live in Atlanta, I would say I need shave in Atlanta.
Leishev
basukkah, to dwell in the sukkah. That's the word you use, which implies a permanent dwelling. Gar means to sojourn, to visit, to be there for a short time, not permanently. Gar means, I'm coming for a short time, but I have no intention of staying here. So in modern Hebrew, they don't translate it that way, they misuse the word. So we're used to the word gar to mean to live, but that's really a mistake. In the true meaning of the word gar means to sojourn, and the actual word for living is leishev. Here, Yosef uses the word shev, v'yashavta v'eretz Goshen, you will dwell, you will settle in the land of Goshen. V'yisa karov elai, you will be close to me. Ata uvanecho v'nevanecho, you and your sons and your grandsons, grandchildren, v'tzoncho v'karcha, your sheep and your cattle, v'chol ha'shalach, and all that you have. Now, why would Yosef right away, when inviting his father down, use the word leishev? Why not use a word that connotes less permanent, temporary?
He probably knew about the galus.
Okay. Because Yosef, along with Yaakov and everybody else, knew there was going to be an exile, a galus. They were going to be strangers for 400 years. They knew about this. And they knew it was going to be a prolonged stay out of Israel. So there was no sense in playing games and telling Yaakov, come down and you'll be here for a few years. They all knew that once they migrated to Mitzrayim, they were going to be there for the long haul. And so, therefore, Yosef immediately used the word leishev. You should dwell here, because they all knew that it was going to be dwelling, it was going to be settling. And they also knew the importance of settling in a good place. Because since it wasn't going to be for a short time, if they would end up in Mitzrayim for a year or two, it's a big deal. You know, so you rent a house, you know, who cares if it's the perfect neighborhood, it's not the perfect neighborhood, you know, you're there for a couple years, you leave. But if it's going to be for several hundred years, you want to make sure that you scout the territory out and get the right place to live. You don't settle on a house before you know, if you know you're going to be there for a long time, before you know this is where I want to be. So they knew they wanted Goshen. As we mentioned last week, they knew about Goshen. How did they know about Goshen?
Yehuda.
Well, how did they know about it from before?
Because
what? Because it was given to Sarah earlier, back in Parshas Lech Lecha. Right. So they knew about Goshen. And Yosef tells Yaakov, you'll come down and you will settle in the land of Goshen. If you have to be in Mitzrayim, the best place to be is in Goshen. Because as we mentioned last week, Goshen is pseudo Eretz Yisrael, because it was owned by Sarah. So he tells him right away, you'll dwell there. Now, he doesn't tell him, how are we going to arrange that? Why should it be guaranteed that they're going to be in Goshen? Right now, it would seem that Yosef was relying on the fact that he's the viceroy. If he's the viceroy, then he could put them wherever he wishes. And there's no reason for his father to doubt that.
It sounds like he's going to have to be convincing with
Pharaoh. Okay. Now, the next mention of Goshen is still on this page. Once Yosef goes, once the word gets back to Paro that the brothers of Yosef have arrived, so then Pasuk Yitzayim verse 17, Vayomer Paro al Yosef, Paro said to Yosef, Emor alachecha, say to your brothers, Zos asu, this is what you should do, Tanu es bi'irechem, load up your food, meaning the food that they're taking back from Egypt to Canaan, ulukuvo arto Canaan, and go and come to the land of Canaan. Ukechus avichem ve'esbatechem uvo eloi, and take your father and your households and come to me. Ve'etnon lachem es tuv eretz Mitzrayim, and I'll give you the best of the land of Mitzrayim. Ve'ichlu es chelev ha'aretz, and you'll eat the fat of the land. Rashi comments, what does it mean, the best of the land of Mitzrayim? That's Goshen. So Paro also guarantees Goshen. He tells Yosef, tell your brothers that come down here with your father and I will give you the best of the land, which is Goshen. Why would Paro say that? Because Paro wants to woo them down. He wants them to come down. He wants Yosef, been such a blessing for the land. Of course, he wants Yosef's family down in Mitzrayim. So he tells them, come down, I'll give you the royal treatment. You'll get the best of the land. Yeah?
How can you give land that he does not own, since they're owned?
Well, she hasn't been around for
I know,
a while.
But her descendants.
Yeah, so it's officially owned by her, but it's since then the Egyptians have
taken over.
Yeah.
But did he know? Did he know?
Did Paro know? I don't know if Paro knew or not. Okay. And I don't know.
It's a fertile land.
That's
by
correct.
Bringing people in who could give them food, etc. That probably was one of the reasons he suggested.
Yeah. And give them a good offer. You know, yes. If you say, come down to Egypt, I'll put you in a slum, they're not going to go on a deal. But come down to Egypt, we'll give you I'll put you in the best neighborhood, I'll give you the best place. So they're more likely to come down. So this was a selling point. This was to get the brothers to come down. And he doesn't mention Goshen by name. He just says, I'll give you the best of the land. Okay.
But it does mean Goshen.
That's what Rashi says.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Now, right. So they go back to Canaan. They tell Yaakov all of this. Now, they now come down to Egypt. Now we're back on our page 262.
Amazing.
So now they've come down to Egypt. Yosef's goal here is that the brothers will settle in Goshen. Paro never said that. All Paro said is, I'll give you the best of the land. Does that mean they're going to live there permanently? Does that mean they're going to be there for a short time? It's up in the air exactly what Paro meant. He didn't even use the name Goshen. He just said the best of the land. Now, on page 262, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, verse 31, Vayomer Yosef el Achav ve'el Beis Aviv. Yosef says to his brothers and to his family, his father's house, Elav ve'agida l'faro, I'll go up and I will tell over to Paro. The word agida means, like from the word Haggadah on Pesach, Haggadah means to tell over, means to say it over in a way that's detailed and interesting. Va'omra elav, and I will say to him. So, means I'm going to be saying this over in detail. I'm going to be stating the case. Achai uvei savi asher be'eretz Kanan ba'oelai. My brothers and the house of my father that are in the land of Canaan, they've come to me. So, like you, Paro asked, you wanted them to come down. They're here. They've come. V'ha'anashim ro'etzon. The men are shepherds of sheep. Kian shei mikneh hayu, because they were men of cattle. V'tzonam uvkaram v'chol asher lahem heviu. And their sheep and their cattle and all that they have, they've brought. That's all Yosef tells his brothers he's going to say to Paro. Nothing about where they should live. Nothing about the best of the land. Nothing about Goshen. Just saying they're here. They've brought. They are. What do? They're shepherds. They're not just shepherds now. They've always been shepherds. They've always been involved in cattle, and they've brought their sheep and cattle and everything. They're here, Paro. They're here. They're here, which means if you want to keep them, you can, if you make a good offer. As they're here with everything. They don't need to go back to Canaan to go bring more things. They're all here. They're yours to keep in Mitzrayim. You can win them over or not. Depends on how you treat them right now. They're here. That's all Yosef's going to say.
But it also, just the interpretation,
says
that the Egyptians didn't like...
We're going to get to that. Okay. We'll get to that. Okay. So they're here and they brought everything with them, including their sheep and cattle. V'hayana will be ki yikra lachem Paro, when Paro calls to you, v'amar mama seichem, and he says, what do you do? So evidently Yosef understands that even though he's going to tell Paro what they do, Paro is going to ask them anyway, what do you do? So it's an icebreaker, what do you do? Even though he knows. Or there's another reason why Paro is going to ask the brothers, what do they do? Va'amatem. So Yosef says, this is what you should say to him. Anshei mikneh hayu avadecha, men of cattle, your servants have been, minu reinu ve'adata, from our young age until now, young men until now, gam anachnu, not only us, gam amaseinu, also our ancestors. Now the next part is not what they're supposed to say to Paro, this is the reason why they're supposed to say this to Paro. That's what they're supposed to say. He's going to ask you, what do you do? What do you do for a living? We've been shepherds, not only us, our ancestors too. We're always shepherds. Why? Ba'avur teshuv eretz Goshen. This is in order that you should settle in the land of Goshen. Kisav as Mitzrayim kol ro'etzon. Because it is the abomination of Mitzrayim, all those who shepherd sheep. Now, what are the brothers, What is Yosef telling his brothers to say to Paro more than he said to Paro? Look carefully at what we just read. Compare what Yosef told his brothers to tell Paro in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, verse 34, and what Yosef says he's going to say to Paro about his brothers in Pasuk Lamed Beis, verse 32. What are the brothers adding? They're adding a crucial fact.
Both we and our forefathers.
Okay, they're adding our ancestors too. Mm-hmm. We're not the first shepherds in the family. It's a family business. We've been in this for a while. This is what we do. We are family. We are shepherds. So Yosef is only going to say that they're here. They have always been shepherds, and they brought their sheep and cattle with them. They brought their business with them. They're going to say, "We're shepherds. Not only us, but also our ancestors." Yosef says, "Once you say that, then you're going to dwell in the land of Goshen, because for Egypt, it's the abomination of the Egyptians, all those who shepherd sheep." As Rashi says, because they worship sheep and goats, cows, they worship all these things, the Egyptians don't want to have shepherds near them. It's an abomination to them. So if you come down and you say that you are shepherds and your ancestors have been shepherds, then you will be in the land of Goshen. Goshen is somewhat distant from the main settlement of Egypt, and that way they will be able to push you away. You won't be near them. Yeah.
Why wouldn't Paro just change his mind and say, "We don't want shepherds here, leave"?
Right. Yosef knew that Paro wanted the brothers. There was a tremendous bracha that came because of Yosef.
Right.
And Paro wants them there. He may also be concerned that Yosef will leave if the brothers leave. Yeah.
I got to ask you. Yeah, but Yosef said to them, "You will be close to me."
Right. So
Goshen's not close, right?
Right. We know from Parshas Vayechi that there was a distance between Yosef, where Yosef ruled, and Goshen. We know that there's they have to send people back and forth to communicate. So I'm not sure what it means, "You'll be close to me." I'm not sure if that means physically close or if it means that they'll be on the same wavelength spiritually.
Closer than Canaan.
Yeah, that's true also.
Good job.
Yeah.
But I would expect that they would not plan or even think about staying any longer than necessary after God gave them this land, and now they're going to settle in Egypt for hundreds of years.
So they don't want to settle in Egypt for hundreds of years. The reason is because of the covenant that God made with Avram after he came to Canaan in the Bris Ben Abitzarim, the covenant between the parts, where Hashem told Avraham that his children will be strangers in a land not their own for 400 years. So they knew that this debt was going to be paid one way or another. Now, the commentaries disagree as to why there was such
a debt.
But there was one. So they knew it had to be paid, and it was going to happen at some point or other. They realized that this was most likely the fulfillment of that. Okay. Yosef is explaining why they would end up in Goshen by saying that they are shepherds, and they've always been shepherds, and their ancestors are shepherds. So he's telling them why that will get them into Goshen, because the Egyptians won't want them to be living right next to them if that's who they are. But why do they want to be in Goshen? So that's the answer you're giving, which really we spoke about last week, that it is spiritually be the best place for them to be. It is somewhat separated from the Egyptians. It is owned by Sarah. So there is some level of kedusha, of sanctity in Goshen, and that's important when they're in Egypt. So why would Yosef tell the brothers to say more than he said? He's saying, "I'm going to say that you've been shepherds for a long time. You're going to say you've been shepherds for a long time. Not only you, but also, not only us, also our ancestors." It is more effective, I'll get to it, but it's more effective when you add more information, meaning that it's always more effective when you build something up.
Right.
As if you want something to be presented, so when the first person presents something, the next person adds to that story, it makes a stronger effect on the person. They don't want it to be like that Paro could say, well, you know, you're shepherds today, but you know, tomorrow I want you to be accountants. This is what we do. We're shepherds. That's what we do all our lives. But he's using a method over here of building up the story. I'm going to say that, Susan, you've always been shepherds. You're going to say, we've always been shepherds, not only us, also our ancestors. As we're planting it in Paro's mind, it's going to get built up as it goes along. Who is another person who uses a similar method in the Navi, in the prophets, and involves David HaMelech, King David, at the end of his life? At the end of David HaMelech's life, you know the story where David HaMelech tells Bathsheba that her son Shlomo will succeed him. Mm-hmm. And we know that, of course, Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, succeeds David HaMelech. But before David dies,
Shlomo starts taking over.
Before that,
yeah.
There is an attempted rebellion. Mm-hmm. Meaning, not a rebellion against David, but there's an attempt to, there's an attempt at positioning, where Adoniyahu, another one of David's sons, tries to position himself to be the successor of David HaMelech. So in doing so, if David were not made aware of this, and if he would have died, the people might have rallied around Adoniyahu. So Nasan HaNavi, the prophet Nasan, comes to Bathsheba, and he says, we have to inform David about this. But we have to do this in a smart way. We can't just go in and tell him, because who says we're telling the truth, or who says we have the story correct? Maybe we're just being emotional, overreacting. So this is what we're going to do. I want you to go to David first. You begin to tell him what's going on. And when you're in the middle of the presentation, I'll come in, and then I'll start over again, and I'll fill in the, let's do it in two stages. And that's what happens. First, Bathsheba comes in, she says, telling David what's going on. And then in the middle of the conversation, someone comes into the king and says, the prophet Nasan is here. Oh, okay. Usher him in. He comes in. David says, Nasan, what would you like? Did you hear what's going on with Adoniyahu? By having a second person come in, if they would have come in together, it wouldn't have had as strong an impact. Sometimes you think, let's go all together. But when you come one after the other, it has a stronger impact, especially if the second person adds details that the first person didn't have. It builds it up. So that's the method that Yosef seems to be using over here with the brothers. At least that's what he tells them to do. Now, they haven't done it yet. This is the plan. Now, what happens? Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Vayavo Yosef came. Vayagev Paro, and he told to Paro. Vayomer, and he said, Avi ve'achai v'tzonam uvkaram v'chol ha'shalahem. My father, my brothers, their sheep, their cattle, all they have, Bo Meretz Canaan, have come from the land of Canaan. V'hinam be'eretz Goshen, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen. He doesn't even mention anything about them being shepherds. He doesn't say that they're shepherds, which is what he said he was going to say. He doesn't say that. And he says they're in Goshen. Before, he didn't tell the brothers that he was going to tell Paro explicitly they're in Goshen. Here he says they're in Goshen. Now, this would not necessarily come as a shock to Paro, because Paro had told Yosef to tell the brothers that he was going to give them the best of the land. Well, Paro, they're in Goshen. Paro never said Goshen, but Yosef could have, in good faith, assumed Paro meant Goshen. And when I say that, what I mean to say is that Yosef could easily put his brothers in Goshen and then go to the king and innocently say, all right, they're in Goshen. If Paro would say to Yosef, why are they in Goshen? Yosef could say innocently, isn't that what you said? You said put them in the best of the land. So they're in Goshen. So they're already in Goshen. Of course, inertia is a very powerful force. Mm-hmm. If they're already there, moving them around is already complicated. They're there. They're here. They're in Goshen. Remember, Paro wants them to stay in Egypt. He doesn't want them going back to Canaan. They're in Goshen. From some of his brothers, he took five men, five of the 11, and he stood them up in front of Paro. So he brings five of his brothers. Which five brothers? We'll discuss this in a moment. Which five brothers? But everybody agrees it was the five that were the
smallest
or weakest looking. So ones that didn't look as powerful as the rest. There is a difference of opinion which five they were. But we know they were all powerful, but some looked more powerful than the others. He deliberately picked the ones who looked less powerful. Because, as Herman pointed out, we don't want Paro enlisting them into the army. So he takes five. Now, just as Yosef predicted, Vayomer Paro alechav mama asechem. Paro says to his brothers, what do you do? What's your livelihood? That's as Yosef predicted. Vayomru al Paro, they said to Paro, Roetzon avodecha, we are shepherds. Gam anachnu, gam avoseinu. So this is exactly what Yosef told them to say. Not only us, but also our ancestors. Now it does, as I mentioned before, it does not tell us that Yosef told Paro they're shepherds. It doesn't say that. It could be he did say it, and the Pasuk doesn't bother to mention that one point because that's clear and obvious. The Torah is only telling us the extra point that Yosef said, which is that they're in Goshen. It's not clear to me exactly whether Yosef left that out or, and if he did, why. But at any rate, the brothers do follow the script, and they say, not only are we shepherds, so are our ancestors. But then they add something. Vayomru el Paro, they said to Paro, Lagur ba'aretz banu. We have come to sojourn in the land. We're not here to stay, Paro. We're here to sojourn. Ki ein mir'eh latzona, because we're not here, we're only here temporarily because there's a problem. Ki ein mir'eh latzona shel avadecha, for there's no pasture for the sheep that your servants own. Ki chaved harav v'eretz Kanaan, because the famine is very heavy in the land of Canaan. So we're only here because we have a temporary problem. As soon as the famine gets better, as soon as there's more food, we're going back to Canaan, Paro. V'atoy, now, yeshvuna avadecha v'eretz Goshen. Let your servants settle in the land of Goshen. What are the brothers doing over here? They are playing hardball. Mm-hmm. Right? They're saying to Paro, we're not here for any length of time. I mean, thank you for inviting us, but we're only here for a short visit because we got to have some pasture for our flock. That's why we're here. And we're going back home as soon as the famine is over. Oh, you want us to stay? You want us to settle? Let us settle in the land of Goshen. They don't beat around the bush. They don't just leave it up to Paro to figure out that he should settle in the land of Goshen. They took the bull by the horns. They say, look, we're going home. If you want us to stay, we want to settle in the land of Goshen. They make it very clear. Vayomer Paro al Yosef, Paro says to Yosef, Lamar saying, Avicha ve'achacha bo eilecha, your father and your brothers have come to you. Eretz Mitzrayim lefonecha hi, the land of Egypt is in front of you. B'meitav ha'aretz, and the best of the land, hoshev es avicha ve'achacha. Settle your father and your brothers. Yeshvu be'eretz Goshen, let them settle in the land of Goshen. Paro says to Yosef, before we read the rest of the verse, Paro says to Yosef, your brother and fathers have come to you. The land of Egypt is in front of you. I don't care where you put them, but I want them to settle. I don't want them lagur. I don't want them to sojourn. I want them to settle. Mm-hmm. Whatever you do, make sure they settle. If they want to, if it takes Goshen, fine. Let them have Goshen. Yeshvu be'eretz Goshen. If that's what it means, if that's what it takes, fine. Goshen is theirs. Anywhere you want in Egypt, as long as it's settling and not sojourning. I want it settling. If it's that's what you want, Goshen, fine, take Goshen. V'myadata, but if you know, v'yeshbaman sheichayo, and they have men of strength, men of soldiers, v'samtam sarei mikne ala sherlim, make them officers, make them chamberlains of livestock. All for what I have. Now this is a complicated set of instructions over here. So what were they concerned about? Why would Paro not want them in the land of Goshen? So Paro might not want them in the land of Goshen. First of all, if they looked very powerful, he would want them either in his army or in his service in some way. Powerful people make better servants. If I have a cabinet post, I want someone powerful. Someone who is physically powerful will be able to get more done. People will listen to him. He will have more presence. You know, it means something. Mm-hmm. So I want I want a powerful person. So if your brothers qualify, I want them to be, do that. So Yosef does not want them under Paro's direct direct control, direct presence. He wants them separated and off in the land of Goshen. So they make it clear to Paro, either it's Goshen or we're only here for a short time. So Paro acquiesces, it's Goshen. However, he does mention to Yosef, but if you know any of them that they really are worthy and powerful, then I want them in my court. I want them with me. Now, he says, I want them as chamberlains of livestock. What do you mean chamberlains of livestock? They worshipped the livestock. So what do you mean chamberlains of livestock? To do what? Okay. The Egyptians also employed shepherds. They had shepherds, just as Yaakov's family were shepherds. But the role of the shepherd was completely different for the Egyptians than it was for the Jews. For the Jews, a shepherd was what we think a shepherd is, which is someone who can take care of the flock. The flock are essentially a commodity that you use to produce wool, to produce milk, and to produce meat.
And hide.
That's what they're there for. They are a commodity. You use some of it for yourself, some of it you sell, some of it you use to perpetuate the flock. That's the purpose of the flock. It's a commodity. It's a business. That's what it is. And that's what shepherds do. They are good business people. That's for the Jews. For the Egyptians, shepherds are priests. They're priests. They take care of the gods. They take care of the flock. They make sure they look nice. They're well taken care of. They're groomed. Whatever their needs are being met. They're sort of similar. Both types of shepherds take care of the flock. But what's the goal? Is the goal to make them better for business, or is the goal to make them better for worship?
Rabbi, one thing bothers me. If Paro is getting them to handle sheep, goats, etc., and they slaughter them and they worship on the other side, that doesn't fit in.
Right. Paro really would not have wanted this. He doesn't want foreigners in the country using not just slaughtering, but even using them as something which man benefits from. The wool, remember in Egypt, what was considered to be the best type of clothing?
Linen.
Linen grows from the ground, not wool, because wool goes from sheep, which was revered. The sheep use it. If you don't want foreigners here who are using their deities as some sort of profit commodity. So if Paro is going to agree to have them around, they have to be distanced from the Egyptians. And they are. Goshen is away from the main settlement of Egyptians. So the bargain that the Jews are striking with Paro is, look, we're here. We're only here because we need a place to hang out for a short time till the famine clears up. We've brought our sheep and cattle. If you don't want us in Goshen, we'll let them graze. Maybe they won't shear the sheep and cattle while they're in Egypt. But as soon as we have a chance, we're out of here. We're back to
yeah.
Canaan. You want us to settle here? Well, then we want Goshen. We want to be separated from everybody else so we can carry out our ancestors' livelihood, which is with sheep and cattle. That's what we do. Paro does agree, but he says to Yosef, if some of your brothers are standouts as really good shepherds, I want them. I want them to shepherd my flock as priests. Let them come and let them be priests in Egypt. Let them take care of the flock. Now, there is another aspect to this, which we'll get to in a moment. But let's finish this thought first. Now, which brothers does Yosef take with him? Which brothers does he take? obviously we're not counting, there are 12 tribes, we're not counting Yosef. Mm-hmm. So of the other 11, which 5 does he take? So hold the place here on 262 and turn all the way to the end of the Chumash in Vezos HaBracha on page 1114. This will be easier if we use the board. So we know there are 11 tribes other than Yosef. Now, here at the end of the Chumash, Moshe Rabbeinu gives blessings to each of the tribes. He mentions them all by name, except for Shimon, which he alludes to. He doesn't mention him by name, but he alludes to him. So let's follow carefully and watch how he mentions them. We're not going to go through the type of blessing that he gives, but I want to show you how he mentions their names. Starting in Pasuk Vav, verse 6, he says, Yechi Reuven, let Reuven live. That was a blessing to Reuven. Okay, that's number one. Next, Pasuk Zayin, verse 7, Vizos Lihuda, this is to Yehuda. Vayomar, and he said, Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda. Hashem should hear the voice of Yehuda. So Yehuda's name is doubled. Reuven's name was only mentioned once. Yehuda's name is mentioned twice. As I said, Shimon is only alluded to. So his name is not mentioned twice either. So Reuven and Shimon, their names are not mentioned twice. Yehuda's name is mentioned twice. Pasuk Ches, verse 8. Ulelevi Amar, and to Levi he said, mentions it only once. So far the only name that's been doubled is Yehuda. Reuven, Shimon, Levi are all mentioned only once. But Yehuda is mentioned twice. Let's turn the page. Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12. LeBinyamin Amar. Binyamin is only mentioned once. So far again, only Yehuda is mentioned twice. Yosef is the next one. We're going to skip him because he's not relevant to this discussion. Obviously, he's not one of the 5 he brought in front of Viparo because he's him. Skip down to Pasuk Yilches, verse 18. V'li Zvulun Amar, and to Zvulun he said, Semach Zvulun. So Zvulun is mentioned twice. So now we have Yehuda and Zvulun mentioned twice.
Okay.
And in that same Pasuk, it says, V'Yisachar, and Yisachar. He's only mentioned once. Mm-hmm. So Yehuda and Zvulun are mentioned twice. No one else. Look at Pasuk Chaf. Pasuk 20, verse 20. Ulegad Amari said to God, Baruch Marchiv God. Blessed is the one who expands God. God is mentioned twice. Verse Chaf Beis, verse 22. Uledan Amar, Dun's, and to Dun he said, Dun Goraye. Dun is a young lion. So Dun is mentioned twice. Chaf Gimel, verse 23. Ulenaftali Amar, Naftali. And to Naftali, he said Naftali is satiated with pleasantness or pleasing favor. So Naftali is mentioned twice.
4 so far.
Okay. And Pasuk Chaf Dalet, verse 24. Ula Asher Amar, Baruch Mi Bani Asher. Blessed from brothers is Asher, from sons is Asher. Asher is mentioned twice. So we have mentioned twice. We have Zevulun, God. Dan, Naphtali, Asher, and also Yehuda. So we have 6 who are mentioned twice. And 5, not including Yosef, 5 that are mentioned once. So again, let's count them out. The ones that are mentioned twice are Yehuda. The 4 who are born from the maids, Bilhah and Zilpah. God, Naphtali, Dan, Asher. I'm sorry, Dan, Naphtali, God, Asher. So we have Yehuda. Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher, and Zivulun. Those are the 6 that are names I mentioned twice. Not including Yosef, the other 5 are mentioned once. That will be Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yisachar, and Binyamin. Okay, here's the question. Why does Moshe double some names and leave other names as only one? There is a difference of opinion, and they are diametrically opposed. Some say that Moshe doubled the names of those tribes that were physically stronger than the others. The six whose names are doubled were physically more powerful, like Yehuda. Well, of course Yehuda was more powerful. He's the king. He's known to be the most powerful of the tribes. So Yehuda, Zebulun, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher were the most powerful of the tribes.
Mm-hmm.
The other five were not as physically powerful. They were still strong, but not as powerful. Which five? Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Binyamin, and Yisachar. So according to this opinion, the five that he took in front of Paro were the five whose names are not doubled.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the five that their appearance were physically, they didn't look as strong. That's one opinion.
Surprising that
Reuven didn't have that Shimon and Levi.
Because he said how big Shimon was.
Right.
When
he right.
They, the two of them fought
Shimon. Right.
Yeah, but
right.
Even Shimon, when he was kept in the tribe before, he was so big.
Right. But they couldn't contain him.
The compelling reason to say this is because Yehuda is among the six whose names are doubled. And Yehuda, we know, is powerful.
Right.
The other opinion, the second opinion, is no. It's just the opposite. Moshe doubled the names of those tribes that needed strength because they weren't as strong as the other ones. The five whose names are only mentioned once don't need to be strengthened. They are strong. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yisachar, Binyamin, they're the most powerful. But the ones that had to be doubled, they're the ones that were weaker, with the exception of Yehuda. That Yehuda's name was doubled because he was the king. Not because he needed to be strengthened. It was a separate reason for doubling Yehuda's name. Really, Yehuda's name would have been kept as one, just like the other ones, because he was physically powerful. But his name was doubled for a separate reason, because of his royalty. So according to this opinion, the names of the brothers who were doubled, except for Yehuda, the other five names that were doubled, they're the weaker ones. And they would be Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, and Zebulun. So these two opinions differ of which five did Yosef take in front of Paro. It certainly wasn't Yosef, because he's obviously, and it wasn't Yehuda. Question is, of the other 10, which five was it?
Was this as a result of different prophets interpreting?
I mean, where does the difference of opinion come from?
Yeah.
This is a vision. Yeah, it's not because of prophets, but it's because of different sages interpreting differently. This is Torah Shebaal Peh. This is in the oral law that, as we know, there are different opinions in certain things, and this is one of them. That's right.
Yeah, when
it was given from the Torah, when it was given by Moshe at Har Sinai, there was a known answer, and over time, a dispute arose. And they both agree it has to do with the doubling of the names. The question is which way to go with the doubling of the names. Okay, back to page 262. Now, the question is, I don't remember if we brought this up when we were dealing with this back in Parshas Vayeshev and Miketz, but I do want to allude to this, whether we mention it or not, but it's important to bring it up again. There's one other angle to this whole issue of the sheep and the cattle, which is that it seems contradictory in the Chumash itself that sheep and cattle were worshipped by the Egyptians. The reason why it seems contradictory is because if you turn back to when Yosef was first sold to Egypt, which is on page 206. Page 206, Pasuk Lamed Vav, verse 36. Yosef was sold and sold again and sold again. It says, V'amidonim achru osal mitzrayim, the Midonim sold him to the Egyptians, Le'potifar sris paro, to Potifar, the chamberlain of Paro. And what was his position? Sar hatabachim. He was the chief butcher. Why does Egypt have a chief butcher?
They got to kill the pigs and the horses.
Okay,
and
so it could be it was different animals. It could be that it was pigs or other types of animals. Or
you said before.
What?
Yeah.
Or It could also be like the Targum Unculus, the Unculus translation, which is in the Aramaic, the right on the left side of the Hebrew text. He says, the last two words on the page in that text is Rav Katolaya, chief executioner.
Oh, right.
He uses the word butcher to mean executioner. Okay? Which we use the word butcher to mean that too. Rashi, though, says no. He's the one who slaughtered the animals. So one could say, well, these are not animals that they worshipped. That's fine. What's interesting, and I believe I pointed this out to you, is that once Yosef in Parshas Miketz rises to power, this Potiphar person gets a new title. Remember, Yosef becomes a viceroy, and Paro gets Yosef a wife. Who's the wife?
Asnas.
Asnas. Who is she?
Potiphar.
The daughter of Potiphar. The daughter of Potiphar. And then look at the title he gets on page 228. Pasuk Mem Hey, verse 45 on page 228. Vayikra Pharaoh Shem Yosef Tzafnas Paneach. Pharaoh called in the name of Yosef, the one who interprets the dreams. Vayiten lo as Asnas, he gave him Asnas, Bas Potiphera, the daughter of Potiphera, Kohen, On. The Kohen, the priest of On. All of a sudden, Potiphar is a priest. How did he become a priest all of a sudden?
From a
I thought he was a butcher.
Right.
Now he's a priest. Now maybe because his son-in-law is the viceroy, so he got a new position. Seems to me that something fundamentally changed in Egypt between the time that Yosef was sold down to Egypt to the time that he becomes viceroy. Something happens which transforms the title of Potiphar from being a butcher to being a priest. What is that event? It seems to me that the event that we know happened that involves animals is page 222. Paro is dreaming on page 222. What does he dream about? He dreams about cows. It seems to me that these dreams were the dreams that were instrumental in making livestock an object of worship in Egypt. They may have been somewhat worshipped before, but what made them a very important worship were these dreams. Because remember, these dreams are the dreams that saved Egypt. If it wasn't for these dreams, they would have starved to death. It saved Egypt and it transformed Egypt into a tremendous power. Yosef is the one who interpreted the dreams, thereby catapulting Egypt into a powerful force, into the world power that it became. The dreams were dreamt by Paro, who himself was considered a deity. The cows were coming out of the Nile. The Nile was worshipped as well. It seems to me that these dreams made livestock extremely important to the Egyptians spiritually. And as a result, the one who used to be the one who was most familiar with livestock, which would be the butcher, now becomes the priest. The one who used to be, he's not a butcher anymore, butchers lost their jobs. There's no opening for butchers anymore in Egypt, at least not for cows and that kind of thing. So the one who was familiar with cows, his daughter marries the one who interpreted the dream about cows, and then he becomes a priest. Seems to me that there is some thread along those lines going on. Again, I don't mean to say that there was no worship of cows and no worship. I mean, there worship of all kinds of things. We know that. But it seems that, that cows became a very important worship once these dreams took place.
But it was through Joseph who was the cause of, if that is true,
right?
Then it's because of Joseph that the cows and the sheep and the goat, whatever else, became God.
Right.
Because if he had not interpreted those dreams,
and ironically, yeah. It's his brothers that come down and they slaughter sheep and goats and cows. Right? So it all comes full circle in the end. Right. So this is conjecture, but it's an interesting thread to follow through.